I have something to share, but let's pray first. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who chooses to speak to your children. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful thing that we have in you, in that you are a God who speaks to your children. You are not an idol with a mouth yet does not speak. You are not an idol with eyes yet do not see. You are the living God. Lord, I pray that you help us to know you just a bit better, Lord, this morning. And put a word in our heart, to Lord, in our hearts that will produce lasting fruits, Lord, in us. Fruits that last. Lord, give us ear to hear, Lord, and eyes to see. And give me the grace to share this with love. In Jesus' name, amen. This word that I'm about to share is something that I've been thinking about recently. To be honest with you, it's brought a lot of terror and holy fear to my heart. I haven't thought much about how to share it with other people. I haven't thought too much about it in that way. But I'm going to try to express it to you. It's the worst day in a man's life. What's the worst day in a person's life? Now, there are all sorts of awful things that can happen to someone. In my own opinion, I think the worst day in a person's life is the day God stops speaking to them. The worst day in a person's life, in my opinion, is the day when God stops speaking to them. You start in Genesis and you see that when Adam and Eve sinned and God came there to talk to them, and though he loved them, but they could not escape the consequences of what they'd done. And God ended up cursing the serpent, then cursing the woman, then cursing the whole world because of what one man did. And that was pretty much the last encounter that they have with God. From that point on, there's no other time that the Bible speaks. God drove them out of the, he made clothes for them, then drove them out of the garden. And after that, there's no encounter between Adam and God or between Eve and God. God stopped speaking to them. There was no new assignment, no new revelation. They became just like any other being. They had decided to listen to the serpent. And the whole world and all of creation has not been the same since then. You go a little forward in Genesis and you see Abraham. God promises him a son. And he said, through Sarah you'll have the son. But then he waits and he waits and he waits and he gets impatient. And he goes ahead and does this thing with Hagar. Sleeps with her and has this child, and God is very displeased with Abraham. And for 13 years or 14 years, God does not speak to Abraham. Not a word. You can read that in your Bible later. Not going to go through it now, but God doesn't speak to Abraham for a long time. He builds altars and he does everything else. But there's not a word from him, from the Lord God. And I've been I've been wondering, what must these 13 years been like? You can see that in what I was just talking about in Genesis 16, verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And it ends there. And there's no more Abraham and God history until verse 1 in chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. And the first time he spoke to him then was a rebuke. I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Because he obviously was not. And in my older Bible, I used to have a line drawn between these two sections. From 86-year-old to 99-year-old, the Lord did not speak to his servant, Abraham. And you go throughout the scriptures, and you see other people, for some reason or another, God stopped speaking to them. You move forward, and the saddest of them, at least Abraham, I feel good about him because eventually God started speaking to him. I suppose he repented and asked God to forgive him. Now, the saddest of them all, that I always consider one of the saddest stories in the Bible, is King Saul. And that's what I've been thinking about this past week. You go to First Samuel chapter 30. Oh. Sorry, 28. First Samuel chapter 30. The story ends in chapter 30, but begins in 28. From verse 1, I'm going to read it for you and you can just follow in your Bible. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, "You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army." David said, "Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do." Achish replied, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the Midian and Spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendant, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." "What does he look like?" He said, an old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, neither by prophet or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord and carried out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistine, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistine." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all day and night. When the woman came to Saul and saw he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground, sat on a couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house.